Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Ashoka Mokpo is lucky to be back home in Rhode Island. In fact, he's lucky to be alive. Mokpo is a freelance journalist who contracted the Ebola virus while working in Liberia. Doctors Without Borders treated him in Monrovia. Then he was flown to a hospital in Nebraska, where he spent 16 days in isolation.
He's one of just 8 Americans to be diagnosed with Ebola. Now he's back home in Providence, Ebola-free, and he joins us now. And Ashoka Mokpo, welcome to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Can you tell me, first of all, how you're doing today? We mentioned that you're Ebola-free, but you're still regaining your full strength. How do you feel?
You know, it's taking a little bit of time for me to feel like I'm back at 100%, but I actually feel like my strength is pretty good right now, and every day things are getting better and better. So I think I'm lucky that my body is healing as quickly as it is.
Can you tell us about that moment when you realized you were getting sick in Liberia? What happened to you? What did you notice?
Well, I had been working all day with an NBC crew, and I was feeling fine. And then I had to go and do an interview with the CDC person, and I got in a car, and I noticed I had a slight backache, and I thought, well, you know, that's kind of funny, and usually we'd been taking our temperature 2 times a day when we were out there, so I thought maybe it would be a good thing for me to stop by my apartment and just take my temperature to make sure everything was okay. And I went to my apartment and put the thermometer in my mouth, and it came back with a fever of 101.3. So pretty much as soon as that happened, you know, I realized that there was definitely cause for concern and started reaching out to the people that I thought could give me some advice on what to do next. But it was definitely a frightening moment.
Yeah, I was going to say that must have been absolutely terrifying.
Well, sure it was. You know, all the journalists who were there would talk about our fears, you know, and some of us would say, well, I'd rather be doing airstrikes than Ebola.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's folks who had been in war zones and in really difficult places, and they felt like the stress of covering the outbreak was actually even greater than some of those things that they did. So we were all kind of like, you know, what would you do? What would you feel like? And most of us felt like, okay, we're safe. We're not touching sick people. We're taking precautions. But, you know, there was still that moment of fear that when you put a thermometer in your mouth, you'd be thinking, you know, I hope it doesn't go up past 98.6. You know, I hope there's no problems. And for that actually moment to hit me,
Ashoka,
it was just overwhelming.
Sure. And Ashoka, I want to talk to you about what's going on and what you observed in Liberia, because I understand that, you know, you're fully committed to that and concerned. But sort of by way of explaining what's going on there, can you describe what it's like, what happened to you, to your body, when you were really overwhelmed with Ebola?
Well, there's phases to the disease. So actually in the initial days when I was in Monrovia, most of the symptoms had to do with just being very weak, having a very bad fever. There were various pains that would go through my body. I mean, I know it sounds kind of silly, but it was almost like a really, really bad flu, like the worst flu that you could imagine. It was very difficult to walk around. I had a bad headache. And then eventually you get into some other symptoms, you know, when people start vomiting and having gastrointestinal symptoms. But that fortunately didn't happen to me until I was in the States. But I used to remember all these folks who'd be trying to get treatment in Liberia who would lie down in the gravel in front of these treatment centers waiting to be admitted. And I used to look at them and think, gosh, you know, these people can't even sit up. And then when I got sick, I completely knew how they felt. You have no energy, completely saps you.
Yeah. As someone who has seen that suffering in Liberia up close and experienced it yourself, what do you want people here to understand about it? What do we need to understand that we might not be understanding about this sickness?
Well, I think the thing is that the situation in these countries is actually, it's possible to address it. You know, there's a need for materials, there's a need for manpower, and there's a need for attention to continue to be paid on thinking about solutions and putting resources into getting things under control. So I think for a while, people felt like, you know, what can we do? It's just getting out of control. This is happening so far away. And it's actually a very addressable situation. You know, there's these problems in the world that you just know are almost impossible to solve, whether it's situation in the Middle East or other conflicts that have been going on for 100 years, but this is something that can be fixed.
And I'm wondering if you think, or let me just sort of put the question this way. Obviously, there's fear in this country. And when we're reading about people who are infected in this country, there's an awful lot of fear about Ebola coming here. Do you think that's getting in the way of thinking this through a little more logically in terms of what can we do to what can we do more to help where the problem is really serious?
Well, I think that, you know, America is a great country, but we do have a tendency to get lost in fear of things that we don't need to be too afraid of sometimes. And it really does feel like that's what's happening with Ebola. So some of the, strict quarantine measures I think that Governor Christie and Cuomo have put in place in New Jersey and New York are just very counterproductive. So, you know, you had this nurse saying she feels like she was treated like a criminal. And anything that makes it more difficult for healthcare workers to go over there and treat sick people is ultimately going to make it worse for us. So if we can't find ways to contain the outbreak and to save lives in West Africa, that actually heightens the possibility that people are going to travel to our country and you know, these situations might come up. But then again, I think if you look at it, the chances that Dr. Spencer infected anybody else when he was sick are so low that I feel like it's almost impossible. So it's important that we look at the facts and the science and don't just get lost in panic about this whole thing, or else bad decisions are going to start to get made. And I think that, you know, that would be another tragedy.
If I can, I'd like to come back. Let me come back to your personal case. You were treated in complete isolation at the Nebraska Medical Center. When did you feel like you had turned the corner and that you were going to make it? I mean, do you remember that moment?
Well, I had felt better, I would say, after about 3 or 4 days of treatment. I started to feel a bit better, but I didn't want to admit that to myself. You know, I felt like I didn't want to jump the gun and say, hey, I'm getting better, and then have some kind of relapse. You know, it was really important for me to preserve my strength and have, you know, some sense of realism about my situation. And when I had been at Medicine Sans Frontières, the containment and treatment center in Monrovia, one of the doctors said that the big milestone for you is about 12 to 14 days. So if you get somewhere between 12 to 14 days of the illness and you're not experiencing profound and serious symptoms, that's actually a sign that you're going to get better. So for me, even though I started to feel better, you know, a couple of days before that, I didn't really let myself celebrate until I got to about day 12. And when I got to day 12, which happened to be a Sunday, I started to actually reach out to people and say, you know what, I think I'm going to beat this. And that was a good feeling.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I understand that you're considering returning to Liberia at some point. I'm sure some people would hear this story and say, why?
Sure. Well, I think I don't have any immediate plans to return to Liberia. So this isn't something like, you know, in 2 weeks I'm going to be back on a flight. I think for me it's more just that there's a very long-term personal and professional connection to the country, and I have some lifelong friends there. So it's difficult for me to imagine that I'm going to go too long without dropping in. But, you know, for right now I'm going to take care of my health, and I think my girlfriend will probably, you know, get me kidnapped if I try to jump on a plane and go to Liberia right now.
All right. Well, that's Ashoka Mokpo speaking to us from Rhode Island. He's a freelance journalist who contracted Ebola while working in Liberia. He's now free of the virus and on the road to recovery. Many thanks for joining us, Ashoka, and good luck to you.
Thanks.